Good morning. This should be 1938, I think, 1938. The last year of her life. She's only 33 years old. Not too old, huh? Maybe some of you older than she now. Oh, yes or no? Oh, no. Oh, she says, yeah, January 6, 1938. I feel much better today. I was glad I would be able to meditate more during the holy hour. Then I heard a voice. You will not be in good health. Do not put off the sacrament of penance, because this displeases me. Pay little attention to the murmurs of those around you. Because she dare not ask for the spiritual director to come to her room to hear confession, because she's afraid that gossips may be said against her. But eventually Jesus was very displeased, because why you're afraid of people? If you even don't ask, people still have the gossip upon you. This is how Jesus, you know. This surprises me, because I am feeling better today, but I gave it no more thoughts. When the sister switched off the lights, I began the holy hour. But after a while, something went wrong with my heart. I suffered in silence until 11 o'clock. But then I began to feel so bad that I woke up. Then I woke up sister Fabiola, who is my roommate, and she gave me some drops, which brought me a little relief so that I could lie down. I now understand the Lord's warning. I decided to call any priest at all the next day and open the secrets of my soul to him. But that was not all. For while I was praying for sinners and offering all my suffering for them, the evil spirit could not stand that. You know, she's always attacked by the bad spirit. It happened to us also. Whenever we wanted to do something good, something bad is putting us back. Taking the form of an apparition, he said, the evil one, do not pray for sinners, but for yourself, for you will be damned. Paying no attention to Satan, I continue to pray with redoubled fervor for sinners. The evil spirit howled with fury, oh, if I had power over you, and disappeared. I saw that my suffering and prayer shackled Satan and snatched many souls from his clutches. Jesus, love of human salvation, draw all souls to the divine life. May the greatness of your mercy be praised here on earth and in eternity. O great love of souls, who in your boundless compassion opened the sanctuary, the salutary fountains of mercy, so that weak souls may be fortified in this life's pilgrimage. Your mercy runs through our life like a golden thread and maintains in good order the contact of our being with God. For he does not need anything to make him happy. So everything is solely the work of his mercy. So he took something good, not just to please him, just out of mercy. God is giving out all the graces, not for himself, for us all only. My senses are transfixed with joy when God grants me a deeper awareness of that great attribute of his, namely his unfathomable mercy. January 7, 1938, first Friday of the month. This morning during Mass, for a brief while, I saw the suffering Savior, what struck me was that Jesus was so peaceful amidst his great sufferings. I understood that this was a lesson for me on what my outward behavior should be in the midst of my various sufferings. So even suffering, present yourself as if not suffering. You know, although we have many problems, don't be problematic. Always as if so natural, so loving, so kind towards other people. Not just show up, not to show up, but at least show people, oh, today I feel really bad. Oh, have mercy on me. No. For quite a long while, I felt pain in my hands, feet, and side. Then I saw a certain sinner who, profiting from my sufferings, drew near to the Lord. All this for starving souls, that they may not die of starvation. I went to confession to the chaplain, Father Theodore, today. Jesus comforted me through this priest. Oh, my mother, Church of God, you are a true mother who understands her children. Oh, how good it is that Jesus will judge us according to our conscience and not according to people's talk and judgments. Oh, inconceivable goodness, I see you full of goodness in the very act of judgment. Although I'm feeling weak and my nature is clamoring for rest, I feel the inspiration of grace telling me to take hold of myself and write for the comfort of souls whom I love so much and with whom I will share my all eternity. And I desire eternal life for them so ardently that this is why I use all my free moments, no matter how short, for writing in a way that Jesus wishes for me. So whatever she writes is for us, not for herself, not to glorify herself, not to show how bad the sister, the next one are. No, by no means. She doesn't want people have kind of prejudice on their sisters. But that's how she felt. She wrote once, I wrote it down just also to tell myself, if I'm in that position, don't do that to other people. That's how she ran from bad things into good things. And whatever she writes, to just let us know that we have to share kind of, you know, life. Life is like that. In a common, outside a common, the same. You know, wherever there's people, always same. January 8th, during Holy Mass, I had a moment of knowledge concerning Father S, that great glory is being given to God through our mutual efforts. And even though we are far from each other, we are often together because we are united by common goal. The common goal is to spread the good news of divine mercy. Everybody suffers a lot. Even today, even you speak more openly on divine mercy, still people still have a different eyes on you, grudging, kind of judging. Oh my Jesus, my only desire, although I wanted to receive you today with greater fervor than ever, nevertheless, precisely on this day, my soul is drier than ever. My faith grows in power, and so the fruit of your coming, Lord, will be abundant. Although many a time you come without touching my senses and reign only in the loftier part of me, the senses too sometimes rejoice at your coming. So, body and spirit together. We praise the Lord only in the spirit, also body, it might be we don't feel, but should have this kind of physical joy also. I often ask the Lord Jesus for an intellect enlightened by faith. I express this to the Lord in these words. Jesus, give me an intellect, a great intellect, for this only, that I may understand you better. Because the better I get to know you, the more ardently will I love you. Jesus, I ask you for a powerful intellect that I may understand divine and lofty matters. Jesus, give me a keen intellect with which I will get to know your divine essence and your indwelling. Through your own life, give my intellect these capacities and aptitudes for by means of your special grace. Although I know that there is a capability through grace which the church gives me, there is still a treasure of graces which you give us, O Lord, when we ask you for them. But if my request is not pleasing to you, then I beg you, do not give me the inclination to pray this. She's open. She asks for. But finally, if it's not your will, I give up. No attachment. Many times we pray, have to, Lord, hear me. And then, if you not listen, as if you seem not listen, you close the door to Jesus. That's worse. I strive for the greatest perfection possible in order to be useful to the church. Greatest by far is my bond to the church. The sanctity or the fall of each individual soul has an effect upon the whole church. Observing myself and those who are close to me, I've come to understand how great an influence I have to other souls, not by any heroic deeds, as these are striking in themselves, but by small actions like movements of the hand, a look, and many other things too numerous to mention, which have an effect on and reflect in the souls of others, as myself have noticed. So whatever you think, you look, do to others, all of the strong effect on people. If you really serve with love, people will receive love from Jesus. Because we are his instrument, not that you love. Jesus, through you, the divine love towards people. So, don't revenge. Not eye to eye, teeth for teeth, no. 70 times 7. That's Jesus' way. Oh, how good it is that our rule demands strict silence in the dormitory. In common bedroom. And does not allow us to stay in them unless it is absolutely necessary. So keep them not to be lazy on bed. Because sisters, they live in the dormitory, you know. There are all the beds there. You feel tired, you lie down. So they are not allowed. I have at present a little room in which two of us sleep. But at the time of my sickness, when I had to stay in bed, I found out how bothersome it was if someone was sitting in the bedroom all the time. So you can imagine, when you are sick and someone's all the time sitting by yourself, she feels bored. Many times we teach charity, you know, to visit the sick, and you stay the whole day there, tiring. And you go, say hello for some moment, and keep far, not just as you would have guardian angel. No. Sister Anne had some handwork to do and sat in the bedroom almost all the time. And another sister S would come to instruct her on how to do it. You know, there are two sisters by her bedside. One is instructing the other how to make other meeting, and then she's the one sleeping, no rest. You know, all the noise, voice. It is difficult to describe how much this ties me, especially when one is ill and has spent the night in pain. Every word has repercussion somewhere in the brain, especially when eyes are heavy with sleep. Or how much love there is in you. So, when next time when you visit a sick person, stay not too long. give them a rest. Don't take your joy in a great angel to console her or console him. They are not afraid of silence. They lead silence. And we are the one who are afraid of silence. And we want to talk. You know, I was a friend, a priest friend. When the time, some years ago, he was in the old aged home. So whenever I visit him, the first moment he start talking. The more time he used to be. One day I tell him, why can't you stop a little bit talking? Let me talk a little bit. It's not dialogue, it's monologue. But he answered, afraid the people feeling alone. So he's talking, so to keep you that don't worry, I'm here, I'm talking. But you know, dialogue means to have silence also. I didn't scold him, but I just tell him to write in the laws. That's not good. Give some silence. Give some chance to other people to talk and feedback, you know. Otherwise, people doesn't want to visit him. You don't want to go to place, you know, always when you start as you will towards the radio, da 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 the whole day. And then to shoot off, you know. When tuning Vesper, the Magnificat was being sung, and he came to the woods, he had shown the strength of his arm. A profound spirit of recollection enveloped my soul, and understood that the Lord would soon accomplish his work in my soul. I am not surprised now that the Lord disclosed everything to me at first. Now she knows she is dying. She's a kind of, you know, I don't know which one she died. Why are you sad today, Jesus? Tell me, who is this cause of your sadness? And Jesus answered me, chosen souls who do not have my spirit, who live according to the letter, and have placed the letter above my spirit, above the spirit of love. So, those people, they don't really live with love, but just superficially follow the spirit, not the spirit itself. It hurt Jesus. I found my whole law on love, and yet I do not see love, even in religious orders. This is why sadness fills my heart. Jesus says, he didn't find love in the convent, hurt Jesus more. As you can see, Jesus hurt not by sinners, but hurt by good people. Sister Lianie is not here. She loved to hear this, sister. She is now in Taiwan, no? Yeah, we'll send a message to her. That she always live well. Now, conversation with Jesus now, this is very important. The dialogue, these two pages, very important. Jesus' words. Jesus says, be not afraid of your Savior, O sinful soul. I made the first move to come to you, for I know that by yourself, you are unable to lift yourself to me. Child, do not run away from your Father, but willing to talk openly with your God of mercy, who wants to speak words of pardon and lavish these graces on you. How dear your soul is to me. I have inscribed your name upon my hand. You are engraved as a deep wound in my heart. Then respond, Lord, I hear your voice calling me to turn back from the path of sin, but I have neither the strength nor the courage to do so. You see, even you want to do good, we don't have the strength. We need peace, grace. Jesus, I am your strength. I will help you in the struggle. So trust. Don't trust yourself. Trust the Lord. Trust Jesus. All we have this kind of, you know, divine mercy. It does not come upon you just without any effort. You have to ask for, seek, and be given. Then, Lord, I recognize your holiness and I fear you, Jesus. My child, do you fear the God of mercy? My holiness does not prevent me from being merciful. Behold, for you, I have established the throne of mercy on earth, the tabernacle. And from this throne, I decide to enter into your heart. I am not surrounded by retinue of gods. You can come to me at any moment, at any time. I want to speak to you and decide to grant you grace. So before the Blessed Sacrament of Tabernacle. So if you walk around here, when you are passing, you know, just come to visit the Blessed Sacrament. He is the source today. Source, we say that it's a visible sacred heart of Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament. She said, Lord, I doubt that you will pardon my numerous sins. My misery fills me with fright. Jesus, my mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. Who can measure the extent of my goodness? For you, I descend from heaven to earth. For you, I allowed myself to be nailed to the cross. For you, I left my secret heart to be pierced with a lance. Thus, open wide the source of mercy for you. Come, then, with trust to draw graces from this fountain and never reject a contrite soul, heart. Your misery has disappeared in the depth of my mercy. Do not argue with me about your righteousness. You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and griefs. I shall heap upon you the treasures of my grace. We always, because we are sinners, we are not worthy. He says, his grace is much bigger, greater than our sinfulness. That's how a fathomable love for all of us. But, you know, you can see even Faustina herself feeling so weak before the great love of the Lord. So much so we are, you know, we dare not even look at Jesus. He didn't come closer because we were sinners. He said, you have conquered, O Lord, my stony heart with your goodness. In trust and humility, I approach the tribunal of your mercy, where you yourself absolved me by the hand of your representative. O Lord, I feel your grace in your peace filling my whole poor soul. I feel overwhelmed by your mercy, O Lord. You forgive me, which is more than I dare to hope for or could imagine. Your goodness surpasses all my desires. And now, filled with gratitude for so many graces, I invite you to my heart. I wandered like a prodigal son gone astray, but you did not cease to be my father. Increase your mercy toward me, for you see how weak I am. Now Jesus says, child, speak no more of your misery. It is already forgotten. Listen, my child, to what I desire to tell you. Come close to my wounds and draw upon the fountain of life whatever your heart desires. Drink copiously from the fountain of life, and you will not weary of your journey. Look at the splendor of mercy, and do not fear the enemies of your salvation. Glorify my mercy. So, let us ask Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He's watching us. We all have the same feeling. We are so weak and so bad and so sinful. We are not worthy, it's true. But with a contrite heart, first of all, say sorry to Jesus and make a good confession, have a clean heart, then come to Jesus and ask as much as you can. Don't keep your sin, and then, of course, you keep your sin. You cannot come closer to Jesus. Even Jesus wants to forgive you, he's not forgiven. Jesus needs the church to give to absorb your sins. So this is important. Oh, I lose my face. I don't want to confess or something, keep to yourself. No, don't do that. As you do it, the same Jesus. No, Jesus is the one who listens to your confession. Jesus is the one who console you. Jesus is the one who stay for you. So leave you two chances. Don't lose the chance. Okay? Let us pray.